Matthew chapter 28. Can you believe it? We're in the last chapter of this book. Wow, we've been a long time in this book, but praise the Lord for it. Matthew, the first of the four Gospels, presents Jesus as King. That's his focus. We've seen every chapter we've come through, we've seen evidence that he is King. He is that Messiah King that was prophesied about throughout the Old Testament. That would be in the line of David. Matthew starts again with Matthew chapter 1, just looking at the line of David and all the names all the way down to Christ there, Jesus, and how he was born in that lineage. Not just once, but again, remember Luke chapter 3 looks at it, it's twice. As Mary, even, her father came from the line of David as well. And so on both sides of Joseph and Mary, he came through the lineage of David. He looked at him as king in this book. And we come to this last chapter, the chapter of the resurrection. And it's amazing that we read this now. Listen, Christians, we read this and we just kind of forget the awesomeness of what happened here. We really honestly, we do. We let it just pass by. We read it like we've read this several times. We know this happened. Wait a minute. We're talking about one raising from the dead. And it wasn't just, now he's alive. I mean, there was an earthquake and an angel of God came down and his face was like lightning. And he had white clothes on, and those guards that were guarding the tomb. Remember, the Sanhedrin went to Pilate, and they said, "Hey, would you give us a watch at the tomb? Because he said that he was going to raise after 3 days, and maybe the disciples are going to go steal his body." He says, "You've got your watch there. You've got your guards." And the Bible says here in this chapter that they shook, they quaked. These men, they quake out of fear, and they faint. They literally just fall over because they're scared at the sight of the angel coming. And then the earthquake. Wow. Let's jump into the scripture. Let's look at these specifics again. Look at verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath. That's the end of the weekly Sabbath. Now, there are high days. The Bible talks about that. There are annual Sabbaths. And we saw that week of the Passover week, there was annual Sabbath that week. And this one would be the weekly Sabbath on Saturday. And it says, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. So the Sabbath would end at sundown on Saturday. And so the night has passed and the 12 hours of darkness, and it's beginning to dawn. It's right there at it. And here, this is what's taking place. These ladies come to the tomb. Look what it says. And it says, on the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Who's the other Mary? Well, the Bible says as Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, came. And then it also talks about another woman named Salome or Salami or however you want to pronounce that, okay? And possibly the wife of Zebedee, the mother of James and John. And even speaks of others than that in other Gospels here. You look at verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Now, why do you think the earth was quaking? You think it was to break the seal on the tomb? Yeah, maybe, but an angel's powerful. He could have done it. I believe when God, earthquakes are God's domain. It's kind of like the weather. It's kind of like volcanoes erupting. Mankind doesn't have anything to do with that. God does. God's in control of these things. When God does some great and mighty things on the earth, pay attention. He's trying to get our attention on something. There are reasons why there are great catastrophic events. There's reasons why there are earthquakes and things. There was an earthquake when Jesus died. And here again, when he's resurrected, there's an earthquake. As the earth shaking in celebration for what God has done. Wow. Certainly a reason to celebrate here. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. Now, do you think the angel actually caused the earthquake? Now, it doesn't say that, but I wonder about that, because the angels do carry out God's administration. They carry out his work. But it doesn't say that. I just wonder about that. It says here, the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now, it doesn't say that the angel rose Jesus from the dead. It doesn't say that. In fact, the Bible says opposite of that. It says that God raised him from the dead. The Father, the power of the Holy Spirit coming down upon Jesus and raising him from the dead. God did it. Jesus was in, he came humbled as a servant in a form of a man. And so God, in the Spirit that was upon him, was working miracles through him and raised him from the dead. I believe that's biblical. It says here that the angel came and sat upon the stone. So he didn't raise him from the dead. The earthquake didn't raise him from the dead. God did. This was just evidence that it had happened. The angel come and rolls the stone away so the people can come in and look. And say, look what God has done. Look at verse 3, the angel. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. It doesn't say he shined like the sun. It doesn't say that. You and I, we look at lightning and we say, wow, that's cool. It's bright. But it's not like the sun. It's not looking like looking into the sun. Here it says he was like lightning. Where in Revelation 21, we were reading that Jesus would have the appearance of the sun. Have that shining appearance there. Look at verse 4. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And fall over. Can you imagine? Now, I've never been in that situation. I've never seen an angel like that. But can you imagine shaking for fear? I don't know. Some people are afraid about getting up in front of people and their legs start shaking. That happened to me one time. One time, I remember being a teenager, and I sang, and I don't know what happened. I think it was a really high song, and my voice was changed a little bit. I was a little bit worried about it, and I think that's why my leg. And I was like, I couldn't control this thing. I don't know what's going on. I'm like, trying to hold it back here, but anyways, it gave me good vibrato. Anyways, while I was shaking there, but they literally shook out of fear, and they were like dead men. They fell over, fainted. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Now, understand, the angel's appearance made these trained soldiers of war to shake and faint, but it didn't make the women do that. Isn't that something? Now, you say, well, a bunch of sissy men. I don't think so. I mean, they were Roman soldiers trained for war. I mean, these same type of men did an atrocities of things to people as they scourged them, as we've studied that, what they did to Christ. And here these men are fainting. Now, I don't know why I've had this in my mind, but I've read through the Gospels when I was looking at this. I had it in my mind that there was two men at the tomb. I don't know if that was the old flannel graphs of like when I was in Sunday school, you know, and you rub the back of it with a scissor, right, and you stick it on the. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on now. You rub the back and make it stick up there, right? Okay. And the kids are like, who? Okay. The same guy, you know, he was Jesus and he was Lazarus and he was the angel and he was, you know, the same guy. It depended on what lesson you were teaching, right? But anyways, and sometimes teachers, and they were really serious, they'd chop the hair off of him, okay? But anyways, okay. somebody said yes. Amen. Okay. But talking about old school there. But I don't know why I thought that there would be just two there, but the Bible never says there was only two soldiers. I got reading about that. It says here in just a few minutes that some of them went unto Pilate to tell him, and under the Sanhedrin rather, to tell them what took place. But it doesn't say that just two of them. It says some of them of the group that was there. Now we understand there was a centurion at the cross. A centurion would be over 100 men. Was there 100 men here? It doesn't say there was a centurion here, but there was a watch. I don't know how many there would have been, but likely many more than just two. So here, guarding this tomb. You understand, an angel has broken this seal, has rolled the stone away, has caused these Roman soldiers to faint. There was no power of man that was going to come and roll that stone back. There was no power of man to come back and overtake the angel and make all of this come to naught. It happened, and God is making sure that people know that this happened here. And he's talking to these women. He says here in verse number 5, he says, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." You've come. Why were they going to the tomb? Another part of the gospel says that they came, they prepared spices. They'd come to anoint him, anoint his body that should have been decaying, but yet he's now resurrected, right? Mary, remember Mary? Mary and Martha? Mary anointed him before his death with that costly ointment that filled the aroma, filled the home. The Bible says here in verse 6, "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." Now this gospel said he was sitting on the stone. I don't believe he stayed on that stone, because there's another gospel, I don't know if it's Luke or Mark, I think it might have been Mark. It says that when they entered the tomb, the ladies literally stepped into the door. They saw, I actually wrote it down here. It says, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. So they came to the tomb, and they were there, and they're at the door, and they look in, and the angel's on the inside. Now, I've been to the Garden Tomb there in Jerusalem. I've seen it. When you go there, of course, because of just the war and the battle and the marks of all that, they've had to put some brick up on the somewhere where some of the stone has fallen away and all of that. The big stone that was rolled is not there anymore, but the track that it would have rolled in is there. I have a picture of it in my office if anybody care to see it sometime. But when you enter in, the Bible also says it was a new tomb. It says it was a new tomb. And what that means is the Jews would oftentimes they would chisel out for a family or for an extended family a tomb in the rock, or whoever owned that land or that property that could have this for the family. And a new tomb meant it was brand new. Only one room had been chiseled out there, and one place for a body to lay. And then somebody else would die, and they'd go in and they'd chisel another room, and they'd chisel another room. And it says it was a new tomb. And when I went into that Garden Tomb in Jerusalem, I had my Bible, and I was reminding myself of what the Bible says, what the Scripture says, and I got to walk into it, and right there to the right was where one body could lay. It was very fascinating to see that. The Catholics believe something different. They built a church over the site that they thought was where Jesus was buried, and there's multitudes of tombs around in this one big room. I don't understand that one bit. Apparently it was some Roman emperor's mother that went over there and started building churches on sites. If you try to go see Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, you can't just go see a stable, which would have been in a cave there in a cliffside. You have to go down into this Catholic church, down in this basement, that she built this church up over. There are different days, and people thought different things for whatever reason. But it's sad. You walk in, and there's almost like a demonic oppression going in there. They're burning things, and it's incense and all this going in the air, and it's dark, and it's just all this gold-plated stuff and different things. It's demonic. It's oppressive. Praise God. I don't believe for one instance that the Church of the Holy Sepulchre was where Jesus was buried. Not for one instance do I believe that. Because I went to that Garden Tomb, and it was just like my Bible says it was. Amen and amen. And I'd love to show it to you here next year. And as we go through this, it says, verse number 7. Let me go back to 6. It says, "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." Now look at 7. "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." Now, why did the ladies get to find out first? Why did these women get to know that Jesus had risen from the dead first? Now, God had, the Lord Jesus, he had already told his disciples multitudes of times, hey, they're going to tear down this temple, and in 3 days they're going to build it back up again. And they didn't all understand that. He said he had to go into Jerusalem where he would be, where he would die, and then that he would be resurrected. He had told them, but they didn't put it all together. Why didn't he let one of the disciples see first? Why these ladies? Well, you know, these ladies were coming to him. God has, he shows us things when we spend time with him. Sometimes us so-called spiritual men that get up in front of people and we teach things and we preach and all this such, and we act like we're real spiritual, but yet there's a bunch of you ladies down here that you really walk with God and you know the Lord and you know him well. And you spend time with him in times that that others of us, we don't understand. And the amount of time that you spend with the Lord, and God's Spirit is with you, even revealing truth from the Scripture to you that others don't see because of your faithfulness to him. Praise God for that. Hallelujah to that. Amen. He goes on here. He's given them a command. He says, go tell my disciples. This is the angel telling the ladies. Verse 8. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy. Now, fear and great joy. Probably fear because they just got talked to by an angel. His face was shining like lightning. But yet, what a joyous occasion to find out, hey, Jesus is risen from the dead. I've got to tell him. And it says that they did run and bring his disciples' word. Look at verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. Now, he's not saying all hail as in bow down and kiss my feet and hail the king and all that. It literally means all the joy. Hey, what you've been told, I'm here and see me now, I'm risen. I'm risen. And he's talking about the joy that comes from that. Now, I scratched my head a little bit, and I'm going to come back to this, but why did Jesus, here, these ladies have been told a message from an angel. Angel means messenger. They've been given a message from the angel. They're going and being obedient to do it, and then Jesus shows up, and he tells them the same exact thing. Go tell my disciples. Why does he do that? I'm going to come back to that in just a few moments, but look at verse 10. It says, then said Jesus unto them, and be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that ye go into that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came in into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. Again, I said, I don't know how many soldiers were there. We don't know how many soldiers were there, but it says some of them went. Maybe perhaps the man in charge, or maybe a couple of the officers. Whatever the case, some of them went. In verse 12, and it says, and when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. That's ludicrous. That's crazy. Why would a soldier say, yeah, we were sleeping on the job and they came and got him? Why would they say that? Well, they're saying that because they're getting lots and lots of dough for this, okay? They're getting a lot of money. They're getting paid off. The amount of men that would have been around that tomb, understanding it wasn't just one, it wasn't just two, was some of them went and told this council, they would have had to pay off some big money. I mean, a Roman soldier, it was a death sentence. A death sentence. To be sleeping on the job, or to lose the criminal, or if you were watching in a prison. Remember the guy that was watching Paul and Silas? Remember that? And he was about ready to kill himself when they said, hey, we're still here. Why? Because it would have been his head. And here these men are going to make this story up that the disciples, fishermen, came and stole the body of Christ against fully trained muscle men of soldiers that were put on guard, right? It seems silly there, but they're doing it because they're being paid off. And if this come to the governor, verse 14, the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. You know what they're saying there? We're willing even to bribe Pilate to keep this quiet. That's what they're saying. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Until what day? I believe until the day that Matthew was actually writing down this gospel. It's said to have been about 30 years later after the resurrection that Matthew went and penned. We're talking about Matthew, the Hebrew name of Levi, that tax collector that got saved and his life changed. And here he's writing this book back to his Jewish brethren. And again, we see that because of all the lineage that he puts in there and the fact that he says Jesus is the king that we've been waiting for. Now, as we finish that scripture and going through there, there's two groups of people here that have responded to the risen king. And that's really my title of the message tonight is the response to the risen king. There's two groups here. First, we see the women, and secondly, we see the watchmen. Okay, the women. All right. Why, again, did they get told by the angel to do something? And then while they're doing it, Jesus shows up before they get it done and tells them to do the same thing again. Can I say this? The Lord is pleased out of our obedience and our faithfulness to what He's told us to do. I believe these ladies got to see Jesus Christ as a reward because the messenger came, told them something, and they obeyed. And because they were in obedience, He says, all hail, all joy, I'm resurrected, but now you can see Me because you've been obedient. You're on the way to do what I've told you to do through the messenger. Amen? I want you to consider with me for a moment, what man in Scripture got to see more than anybody else of prophecy and all of that? What man? John the Revelator. We were just reading some of that revelation there. You know what's amazing to me when I think about all the disciples who made sure he was close to Christ? Right? We see him laying on Jesus at the supper. We see him even when he's arrested. We find John chapter 18, in the palace of the high priest with Christ. He comes down and tells that gatekeeper and he says, hey, let my buddy Peter in. It's hiding back there in the bushes. Let him in. And John stays with Christ. Now, we don't see him when he's being questioned by Pilate. He's not mentioned. But I have no reason to think that he's not there because he's at the high priest's palace. And then again, he's at the cross and he's mentioned at the cross. He stays with Christ. And wouldn't you know, the Lord shows John more than he shows anybody else. Now, Paul got to see a lot. He got a lot of prophecy, a lot of things that he could see. Paul was taken, he says, was it in a vision or was it in the flesh? I don't know. But he went up into the heaven, the Bible says. He talks about that. And he got to see some things that even others didn't get to see. But Paul was faithful through much. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and all that God had Paul go through. And he got to see much because of his obedience and his faithfulness to the Lord. Now, I was just saying that. I was just talking about ladies in the church and your walk with God. It's important that we stay faithful and obedient doing what we know we ought to do. Even when it doesn't make sense. Even when it gets hard, even when the money's not right or the family's not with us or somebody else is not backing us or we're being questioned at work or it's not working out here, we stay faithful and God will reward us. Whether in this life or whether at the judgment seat of Christ, that will be rewarded. There's a crown for those that will be faithful to the end. And I believe these ladies, now this is my opinion, but understanding, I'm trying to understand, why were they told by an angel and then Jesus shows up and tells them the same thing? I believe it was a reward because they were already being obedient. That the Lord said, hey, now's your joy, you get to see me. You've heard it, you were obedient, you accepted it, you're doing what I told you, and now you get to see me. I wonder what the Lord would reveal to you and I out of being faithful in this local church. I wonder what the Lord will reveal to one of you, maybe perhaps one of you Sunday school teachers, and you're in the Word of God and you're studying it and you're faithful to that class, and God will just feed you from the Word of God and fill your heart with such joy from just the getting fed from the Word. When you are a Bible student, you know what I'm talking about, getting fed from the Word of God and just feasting on the knowledge that the Lord fills in your heart while you're studying for Him. Maybe it would be somebody you've been praying for to get saved. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and He turneth it like the rivers of water, right? Come on now. And God rewards us. But think about these soldiers. The second one, the watchman. Stay with me on this now. These soldiers saw something magnificent. They saw an angel come down with an earthquake. I mean, the ground is shaking and the stone rolls away, and here's an angel with a face like lightning and a garment that's white as snow. You think that wouldn't shake you up a little bit? Well, hello. It's amazing. You know, they go back and they tell the elders there and the Sanhedrin and all that. The Sadducees didn't believe in angels and they didn't believe in the resurrection. This really took them for a loop, didn't it? That would have been a magnificent event. Do you remember the centurion at the cross when the ground was shaking and the darkness for that 3 hours when Jesus was crucified? And he looked and he said, when Jesus gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this was the Son of God. Remember that? That wouldn't have been quiet. That was a centurion that said that. 100 men would have heard him say that. The people standing nearby would have heard him say that. Do you think these soldiers who were in Jerusalem at that same time wouldn't have heard about that? I'm sure they would have heard about that. And here they are on this watch, and they see an angel come out of heaven and open the tomb and say, hey, he's risen, and they for fear faint. And to think they go, some of them go to the council of the Jews here, the Sanhedrin here, and they give them a report, and they're paid off to be quiet. I don't know about you, but it would take a lot of money, I would think, to keep me quiet if I saw something like that. I mean, that's a life-changing event right there. That's big time. Now, I mean, I serve the Lord, and I believe the Word of God and all of that, but I don't know that I've... I mean, the Bible does say that angels walk among us unawares. But none's ever showed up in a white garment with a face like lightning. Amen? I mean, other than Marie. She's an angel. She showed up in my life. Amen? Amen. She sits over here on Sunday mornings. That's where I was looking. She's over here. Amen? I needed points. I just, you know, understand. I got that in there. Amen? That's a lesson for some of you men, all right? Okay, moving on. All right? So, praise God. Where was I going? Amen. Love you, babe. All right, moving on. They were offered money to be quiet about this. So here's where I'm going with that, and then I'll be done, okay? The resurrection happened. There is so much evidence of the resurrection of Christ. We have so much in the Scripture, and even people of even folks that did not believe in history past. Some of you have seen some of those documents. You've read the books, or you've seen the movie or whatever, and people have proven the resurrection of Christ actually took place. And there's so much evidence of it. It was a life-altering event for those soldiers, for those ladies, all of these things. The lady said, I'll let this affect me and I'll be obedient. And God rewarded them. But here the soldiers, whom it also affected, whom also fainted because of it, said, yeah, I'll stay quiet about it because I like what the world's given me. Yeah, I'll stay quiet about it because I like the money. All of a sudden I think about the ground, the four different grounds that the Lord Jesus preached about, where the seed is planted. You know, the stony ground where the birds came and collected up, remember? The stony ground, what did I just say? The I said the stony. I meant the wayward, the wayside where the birds came and collected, and then the stony ground that the earth wasn't very deep and they would burn out in the sun, right? And then the thorny ground where the thorns came up. And what's the Bible say? It choked out the seed. Choked it out. You know what? You know what? Opportunity and wealth and people's clapping and the fame of this world, you know what it does to us Christians that know the resurrection happened, that are saved and ought to be shouting it from the rooftops? You know what happens? The world's done choked it out in us. Because we're too worried about, well, I like the money that I'm getting at work, and if I'm too loud about this, it's going to affect some things. So I'm going to stay quiet. I mean, this is the resurrection. It should be a, hey, everybody, do you know that I serve the one God that raised from the dead? Hello, everybody. I want you to meet Jesus. He was dead, but now he's alive. I want to show you in the scripture. I mean, this is not just a nice Jewish man that lived many years ago. This was the Son of God, and the Bible says it right here. And he raised from the dead. And this is why I will live eternally, because he lives today. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. Amen. Come on, it ought to change things. But what happens is we let this world choke us out. Chokes our voice, chokes our witness, because we're chasing after that dollar over there. We're chasing after that fame or that opportunity over there. Yeah, it's strong pull among young people and young adults, but it's also strong amongst us that have been seasoned a little bit. And because we're not in the Word like we should have been recently, or maybe we've been distracted on some things and we've forgotten about the truth and the power of God that took place that day. And we've let the world choke us out. The devil has distracted you and I so many times so that we wouldn't be the witness that we ought to be. These soldiers, I'm not talking about just the disciples. I'm talking about the soldiers that were present that day when that angel showed up. Should have changed that city, should have turned it upside down. But instead, money got them quiet. They were choked out. Does that happen to you and I? Sometimes. Maybe we would make a decision to the Lord. Maybe we'd make a promise to the Lord that we'd be more like these ladies who were faithful to deliver the message. To deliver the message to the disciples. Say, hey, he's risen. That really should be our message all the time. He's risen. Why do I serve him? Because he's alive. Because he raised from the dead. That changes everything. Amen. We have the women and we have the watchmen. Let's ask the Lord's help tonight as we make application. Lord, we come to you tonight at invitation time and thanking you for this passage of Scripture. Lord, it's amazing that the Sanhedrin here, these council, these elders of the Jews, Lord, how they were just set on keeping this hidden. Paying off these soldiers and how they wouldn't believe, they wouldn't see the truth of this, that their king had come. Lord, help us not to deny it. Help us to accept it. Help us to shout it out. Help us to tell the masses, Lord, the world, especially our community, our Jerusalem right here, Lord. You've given us Martinsburg and Berkeley County right here, and some of us over the river there, Lord, into Washington County, or down the way into Virginia, into Frederick County, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, please, to share this and to turn our world upside down right here. Lord, why is Martinsburg not busting at the seams of saying, we're coming to Christ because he lives? Why is not Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church busting at the seams saying, we need to get to the place of the preaching of the Word of God because I serve the King of Kings that rose from the dead? God, would you work in our heart? Would you remind us of somebody that needs to hear this good news? Would you remind us, Lord, and help us and convict us about being not like the watchman and choked by the world or the money and opportunity and all the things the devil distracts us with? But would you challenge us, please, to be more like these ladies? Faithful. Right after this, Lord, you give the Great Commission and you give that command to all of us, Lord, to take the message to the world. I pray that you'd help us, please. Bless this invitation tonight. And may you have your way in our hearts, please. The piano.